Young people in Hawaii have used electronic cigarettes at some of the highest rates in the country, but legislative proposal to change that behavior have failed to gain traction here. It's a story that HPR's Ryan Finnerty has followed and talked about with HPR News Director Bill Dorman.
Ryan, you looked at this story going back a number of years. States like California have faced similar challenges with youth vaping, but have taken different approaches. And that includes banning flavored tobacco products, restricting sales in other ways. But in your reporting, you found that hasn't happened here.
Yeah, that's right, Bill. I've been covering this issue of vaping, and particularly underage vaping, for a few years now. And the story has always kind of been similar from year to year. Some lawmakers will propose a law or several laws usually each year trying to restrict vaping devices or put a tax on them, which is meant to reduce demand. And usually the goals are to make it harder for underage kids to get their hands on these vaping devices or e-cigarettes, that umbrella of products, because you are required to be 21 in the state of Hawaii. And that was really the only law that has gained significant traction in the past few years, was raising the tobacco age from 18 to 21. And while all of this was happening, underage vaping in Hawaii, the rates were really continuing to climb. A CDC survey from 2019 found that 50% of Hawaii high schoolers had tried vaping or e-cigarettes, so one in two. And these are pretty addictive products, much like traditional cigarettes, but advocates say it's easier to even get more nicotine in the form of vaping than you would in a normal cigarette. And these are a lot easier to hide. And so it's easier for kids to consume this once they get their hands on the actual vaping device and the product. And one of the most controversial aspects of the debate around this product, as you alluded to, is the industry's use of flavored e-liquid or vape juice. That's the name for the substance that actually gets vaporized in one of these devices. And advocates say that the flavors are targeting children. They have names like banana split, cotton candy, Fruit Loops, and a lot more. And you can kind of see what they're alleging there. To the point that a bipartisan group of lawmakers in Congress, which included Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz, launched an effort last year to ban them. Several states, as you mentioned, including California, have banned flavored vape products. California passed a law just a few months ago. And when that ban was signed into law, we at HPR decided to revisit the issue and see why similar legislation had repeatedly failed in Hawaii.
And when you went through that and did the reporting on that, you went through a lot of material. Some of that included the legislative bills themselves, of course, that were put forward on vaping at various times and what happened to them. But there's another track as well, which is the political contribution track. What'd you find?
Yeah, I looked through 5 years of legislative records, as you mentioned, to just see kind of what had been proposed and discussed and what the results had been. And on that front, I found that more than 80 bills in the last 5 years, so since the 2015 legislative session, had been proposed to restrict vaping in some way. It included measures like taxation, because vape products are not currently taxed in the state of Hawaii the way traditional tobacco is. Banning internet sales to anyone other than a licensed vendor. You can currently buy these products online and have them shipped right to your house, with just sort of a cursory age verification, and also a ban on flavors, as we've mentioned. And of those more than 80 bills, only three became law during that period. One, as we've mentioned, raised the tobacco age in Hawaii to 21 from 18, and the other two were pretty narrow. They banned vaping and smoking on the campuses of the University of Hawaii and the State Health Corporation. And what became clear from looking through the legislative record and talking to different people who have been involved in this debate is that there was one committee in particular that had become the graveyard for many vaping bills, and it's the House Finance Committee, which is a very powerful body. It has to approve a substantial percentage of all legislation in the state capitol before it can get a final vote. Basically, anything that has to do with spending of public money or taxation, anything involving money, this committee and its counterpart in the Senate have to approve it. And over the five-year period that I looked at, going back to 2015, 14 anti-vaping bills died in this committee, the House Finance Committee, and only six were passed. And some of these would have seemed, they seemed pretty uncontroversial to me. There were a couple to that proposed to enact fines or steeper fines for retailers caught selling illegally to minors. There were several flavor bans and multiple restrictions on internet sales and to create parity on the taxation. And the really noteworthy thing, in addition to the number, was that most of the bills were killed without a vote actually being recorded. Usually you can go on the state capitol's website, look up a bill, see what happened to it, maybe where it was voted down or where there was disagreement and how far it got in the process. With so many of these bills, I'd identified 14, they just sort of got to the House Finance Committee and stopped. And it would, the record would say that they were deferred or it had been referred to the House Finance Committee, and then nothing. No hearing was scheduled, no vote, no record of the vote for most of them. And that type of action is really at the discretion of the chair of a committee. The committee chairs are the ones who schedule bills for hearings and conduct the votes and tally everything. And so it became clear that Representative Sylvia Luke, who chairs the House Finance Committee and did for the entire period that I looked at, had a big hand in this. She represents the Honolulu neighborhoods of Makiki, Punchbowl, and Nu'uanu in the state house. And she was also identified to me by multiple independent sources as being a major opponent of attempts to restrict vaping and restrict underage vaping. And so then, as you mentioned earlier, I decided to look into her campaign finances, because politicians in Hawaii are required to disclose how much money they raise in donations and where it comes from. And looking back to 2014, since then, she received about $20,000 in donations, either directly from tobacco companies who have a big stake in vaping, or their local lobbyists here in Hawaii. The two companies of note were Altria, which has a 35% stake in Juul, and Reynolds American, which is a subsidiary of one of the largest tobacco companies in the world, and also has a stake in the vaping industry. Both sent Luke money in recent years, but there were two local lobbying firms that made up the bulk of the donations, Capital Consultants Hawaii and Sanhai Government Solutions, which are both registered, or their employees and their lawyers are registered as lobbyists for those two tobacco companies, contributed a majority of the funds. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can go look it up. It's all publicly available information. It's not the easiest system in the world to use, but you can go to the Campaign Spending Commission website, the Hawaii Campaign Spending Commission, and you can look up donations by individuals and by lobbyists. There's a separate database for lobbyist registration and spending. And you can see that this was going on the whole time. You can also look up all those bills that I mentioned. Sylvia Luke declined multiple requests for comment, including one that specifically identified her legislative record and her campaign finances as being a focus of the story. So we don't have her response. But the picture we're left with is of someone who took money from corporate interests and then very effectively intervened on their behalf to prevent this type of regulation from being passed. And as I mentioned, it's worth noting that the committee did pass several bills. Ultimately, those did not become law for other reasons, but they did pass one, including last year, that would have banned flavors, but it also increased fines and penalties for underage users, which advocates say is not an effective way to address this problem. And Luke has said publicly that going after users is her preferred way for addressing this issue.
Ryan Finnerty covers politics and government for Hawaii Public Radio. Ryan, thanks for his story.
Sure thing, Bill.
And thanks for joining us to talk about it a little more. You can find Ryan's original story online at hawaiipublicradio.org. You can search for vaping.